Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about two plans to legalize and tax recreational marijuana, a summit on grizzly bear education in Helena, and women in agriculture. It's Tuesday, January 28th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana Democrats have lodged an ethics complaint against a Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Democrats accuse the current Secretary of State Chief of Staff of using public time to campaign. Nikki Ouellette reports.
The state Democratic Party says Christy Jacobson violated Montana code by talking about her own candidacy during a work-related interview broadcast on News Talk KGVO earlier this month. According to KGVO, Jacobson brought up her campaign and reasons for seeking office while talking about fees to run for public office. Jacobson filed fundraising paperwork to start her campaign last fall. Montana Democratic Party Executive Director Sandy Lucky says Jacobson was on the clock for her state job.
And she shifted the conversation to being about the fact that she herself was a candidate for office. And promoting her campaign, even going so far as to announce that she'd been endorsed by her boss, Corey Stapleton.
Jacobson did not respond to a call requesting comment by deadline. This is the first ethics complaint filed to the state's top political cop this year. Prior to last May, ethics complaints were confidential until Montana's Commissioner of Political Practices considered whether the complaint was under the office's jurisdiction. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
Two ice fishermen were rescued after falling into the water at Holter Lake over the weekend. Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton says three men were fishing when two of them broke through the ice at about 4:30 p.m. Sunday near the Log Gulch campground around 25 miles north of Helena. The two men were able to get out of the water but felt the ice was safer to the west. A third man returned to the east side of the reservoir to call for help. Rescuers broke through the ice several times on their way to the men, who were able to walk back across with assistance. They were treated for hypothermia. Two competing plans to ask Montana voters to legalize and tax recreational marijuana are underway in the state. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
A group called Montana Can is the latest initiative sponsor calling for a change in the state's policies for marijuana. Montana Can is proposing a gross sales tax on the recreational drug of no more than 5% and legal use of the drug for people 18 and older. In a separate campaign, New Approach Montana is working on a ballot initiative pushing for a 20% excise tax on all recreational marijuana. That plan calls for the drug to only be legal for those 21 and older. The campaigns also offer different regulations for the drug's production and distribution. Both proposed initiatives are now before state officials for review, which is required before the Secretary of State's office can give the go-ahead to start collecting signatures in order to qualify for the 2020 ballot. Those signatures are due June 19th. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, 11 states and the District of Columbia now have legalized small amounts of marijuana for adult recreational use. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
A cryptocurrency mine in Butte is back in operation after being shut down for 2 months due to the arrest of its majority owner on charges of cryptocurrency investment fraud. Kevin Washington, a minority owner of CryptoWatt, and operator Rick Tabish went to court to have a receiver appointed to run the company. Early Sunday, the power was turned back on, and more than 35,000 servers in seven buildings gradually came to life, performing calculations that are rewarded in payments via Bitcoin. Tabish said he negotiated a lower-priced power contract than they had before they shut down. Washington and Tabish are still looking to raise $45 million to purchase more efficient and productive servers. State and federal wildlife managers are offering a first-of-its-kind summit on grizzly bear education in Helena this week, following another record year for bear mortalities. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports officials say the education is critical to reducing human-bear conflicts.
Sarah Silty is a Grizzly education coordinator for state and federal agencies. She says it can be hard for people to know where to get education on protecting their farm or livestock from bears or how to safely recreate in bear country.
They don't know where to find what they would consider trustful or reliable information. So one, we're just compiling all that in one place. And then we're going to look at what's being used and is effective and what's not effective. And can we measure effectiveness?
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is bringing together groups across the state involved in human-bear conflict education to make sure they're using consistent messages. The summit in Helena will also compile a catalog of education offerings and other resources, ranging from grants for electric fencing to bear spray demonstrations. FWP plans to also identify groups agencies say they're not educating enough, such as river recreationists and mountain bikers. FWP hopes to compile a report for the Governor's Grizzly Bear Advisory Council as well, so it can factor the information into its future recommendations for the governor. Rocky Mountain Front rancher Trina Bradley sits on the council and put on her own education event with the Blackfeet Nation Stock Growers Association earlier this month to address education shortfalls in that community.
A lot of ranchers are frustrated because we have to deal with these bears and we have to absorb the losses from having them eating our livestock and breaking into things and whatever.
Bradley says a lot of ranchers just don't know there are programs aimed at helping them. That's something FWP hopes its education summit will help resolve. The summit runs Tuesday evening through Thursday morning in Helena. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Farming and ranching have always been considered risky, but more extreme weather events, low prices, and uncertainty have led to higher rates of bankruptcy and suicide across the U.S. Recently, 700 women agriculture producers gathered in locations across 6 western states to learn about ways to reduce stress on farms and ranches. Rachel Kramer reports some of the attendees in Great Falls said the event focused too much on mindfulness and less on actually tackling what they consider to be their biggest concerns.
A dozen women and a baby are at Northwest Farm Credit Services in Great Falls Saturday morning. They grab a cup of coffee from a table in the back or sip from Starbucks cups they picked up on their drive into town. Most of them traveled several hours for the annual Women in Agriculture Conference, which is led by Washington State University Extension. Keynote speakers like Shauna Reitmeier, CEO of Northwestern Mental Health Center in Minnesota, are live-streamed to over 30 locations across the Pacific Northwest, Alaska, and Hawaii.
A healthy you is going to mean a healthy farm. And so today we want to talk about the role that stress plays in your life as a farmer. The mindfulness practices that you can do can also help mitigate stress.
Most of the sessions focus on understanding how stress affects a person's brain and why reaching out to a friend during a tough time, expressing gratitude, and deep breathing.
You're gonna take a couple of deep breaths in and out.
Have all been shown to help counter that. But by the end of the conference, many of the attendees say the information isn't exactly new to them and that they were expecting something more. Chris Deshmaker is part of a multifamily operation near Lewistown that grows small grains and raises cattle.
The information presented today is useful in everyday life for sure. But I thought there'd be a little bit more about pertaining specifically to farm and ranch because our industry is so different from the general public in what we deal with, and the stress can be a lot higher.
Cindy Johnson grows small grains and pulse crops with her husband east of Conrad. She says she often worries about rising suicide rates in central Montana.
We all have concerns about our neighbors, and we all kind of keep an eye out for one another.
She says farming and ranching are gambling lifestyles, which means there's a lot of added stress and uncertainty.
You don't know what your product's going to look like. You don't know what kind of value it will have. You know that you have some major input costs in order to grow or to produce it. You know that you're really at the mercy of the market that's being controlled by somebody else.
Many of the women in Great Falls Saturday say they're concerned about the rising cost of equipment. A combine can be $500,000 to $800,000.
Others talk about unpredictable weather that can kill their cattle and pigs. But the topic that keeps coming up is succession planning, figuring out how to prepare for the day when the main person running the farm or ranch retires or dies. Having those discussions and making business decisions with people who are also part of the family can be really delicate issues to navigate.
It seems like a lot of people were saying, you know, like some people might have their whole farm operation in their head instead of written out in a nicely organized, you know, printed structure or something like that. And so how has that transition been for you with your son?
It was a learning experience. We definitely had to try different things and get them to work.
Maureen Wicks, a Liberty County commissioner, says she and her son started farming together near the town of Ledger when her husband passed away 14 years ago. She says it was rough for the first couple of years, but with some help from friends and neighbors, good communication, and an openness to try new things, like getting into the organic industry, they were able to make it through the transition. Wicks says going to Montana's Next Generation Conference, an event hosted by Farm Services around Shelby, was also really helpful.
I think their financial workshops are good for young people just getting started. They're also good for the older generation to have a chance to talk and to hear about the different models that are out there for transferring your farm and to get a firm financial background on how you want to do that.
The annual conference will take place this Friday and Saturday. Northwest Farm Credit Services also hosts succession planning workshops in the late fall and winter. Cindy Johnson, the farmer from Conrad, says regular meetups like these often offer more than what's listed on the agenda.
It's important to talk to one another, to communicate, and that is going to be the biggest key for all of us to be successful and find less stress in order to be able to cope.
With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer in Great Falls.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.